Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, December 4th, 2017. And right now, we're very happy to be joined by the brand new head football coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, Herm Edwards. Coach, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, man. And I can't tell you how excited I am. I think it was just a great opportunity, obviously, and the vision that Dr. Crow, the president, and obviously the AD, Ray Anderson, have in mind to fit my profile, fit my personality. I was waiting for another chance, and this one obviously was one that fit everything that I needed to lead my great job and my situation at ESPN. So I'm looking forward to it, guys. I really am.
So this whole time at ESPN, did you know in your heart that you were going to get back into coaching, or is this something recently that you decided? What was your thought process the whole time you were at ESPN?
That eventually, if the opportunity presented itself in the right situation with the right people, that I would give it another go, and really was looking at the college situation a lot. You know, I've been offered opportunities before, but it was never the right fit, and this one just was one that I looked at and talked about, took some days to think about, and said, you know what, let's go do this. This would be a lot of fun. This is my passion, as you guys know. My passion is being around young people, boy, and developing them not only into good football players, but use football as a tool to make them better men, so they're well equipped when their football years are over, that all the things that are in the world that they face, they'll be well equipped to deal with all those things.
Coach, I'll be honest with you. I am fascinated with the press release that was sent out by Arizona State. I'm fascinated with how they describe this venture, this plan.
Yeah.
The department's new leadership model will be similar to an NFL approach using a general manager structure, a collaborative approach to managing the ASU football program, and you're going to oversee the new leadership model. If you would, could you tell us a little bit about that? Because, again, I find this fascinating.
Well, you know, it's almost like an NFL model. We were all on the same page as far as our vision. And, you know, me as a coach, I'm going to delegate things to my coaches. I'm still coaching, but I'm going to delegate things to my coaches. You know, I'm going to try to be the face of this. And obviously the lifeblood of any college institution is their athletes as far as sports goes. You know, and I'm going to have to go into homes and let parents know that they'll have a great experience here. We anticipate they will graduate and be well-equipped to deal with anything if they're not a pro football player with their life's work. And so I just think it's a sound way to go about doing things. It's different, obviously, but I think that's the uniqueness of this.
So, Coach, with so much, like you said, you were excited to get into the idea of the college game. You have so much experience at the pro level. How do you plan to learn about what the major differences are in terms of running a program at the college level to the pros? Are there some people you have contacted or will contact to kind of get yourself ready for those differences?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I can reach out to a bunch of coaches. Look, and I've covered college football, as you guys know. I was in the SEC world for a year just covering all those games, doing them on TV and radio. So I'm well-connected with college coaches, and I look, you watch the college game, you have to watch the college game. Why? That's our farm league. You know, that's where we get our players. And so a lot of the college things now are kind of filtering in the NFL. So, you know, that's just part of it. So, I mean, you know, it's a new learning experience. You know, I was in college football before I even got in pro football. So I know the rigors of going out and recruiting and going into homes and visiting, and that doesn't bother me at all. You guys know how much energy I have. I'm energized with this, boy. This is really kind of ignited my passion. So I'm excited, guys. I really am.
And look, anyone that has ever been around you has said boy, if he wants to be, if he wants to take on a college program, he will be one of the best recruiters in the nation. Because you get in the living room. I mean, you motivate us after a Chiefs loss. Well, every Monday now, unfortunately. But I mean, and that's to me. Whenever I've read about or talked about former NFL coaches that maybe haven't made it when they've tried to go back to college, it's the recruiting part of it. It's getting out there on the road. It's talking to the parents. It's doing all those things. But to me, besides being a coach for this, that appears to be your strength where you will excel, because I can't imagine many more coaches being able to go in and get the parents on their side. That's right up your alley, right?
Well, yeah, and I think dealing with parents, I think the first thing you got to realize when you deal with them, you got to be honest about their son's athletic skills and share with them the positive things that the university can offer them in the classroom and in the community. And, you know, we know that our expectations will be that he leaves here graduate and well-rounded young man with leadership aspirations if he's not a professional football player. I mean, that's kind of the challenge, and that's the commitment that you have to make to parents. You know, and I think the next thing when you're dealing with young people, you know, I've always asked players, there's some key questions I want to know from them. What are your dreams, your desires, and your ambitions as a student athlete? I mean, that's kind of important.
And so for you today, the press conference where you're officially introduced is going to be later on. And obviously that's something that's going to be right up your alley, dealing with the media, because you've been in the media and you've handled the media at the NFL level. But when you look at this and when you think about this and this new leadership model and this new plan at Arizona State, we know the things you're going to be really, really good at. What do you think will be the biggest challenges for you taking over a Division I college program?
Well, obviously, the biggest challenge, I think, for anyone that has, you know, that has coached at this level for quite some time is just the rules, you know, the compliance. And I'm going to go over those things and make sure I'm not doing anything that would embarrass this university. And I'm going to be very, very diligent on that. But other than that, I just think that, you know, the time limits, I mean, you don't have the same time you have in the NFL. That you do with these young men, because they're student athletes first, and that's important. So, but I mean, you got time with coaches, but you still coaches as well, you know, and I just think your vision and, you know, what I want to know, what's really important to me too here is what is their DNA as far as how they look at players? You know, what are we trying to become? You know, who are we when we define a player that can play for us in our system? You know, what kind of player is that? I don't know that yet. I'm going to ask that question. And there's a couple things that, you know, that I look forward to talking to them about is when it comes to players and we evaluate, you know, my vision on maybe what a player should be, especially on the defensive side of football and college football, what they should look like.
All right, Coach, since we're living in the college football world right now, obviously the biggest news coming out of college is the playoff rankings.
Yes.
We know who the four teams are going to be. What are your thoughts on two teams from the same conference? What are your thoughts on the conference that you're now about to be a part of, getting left out in cold on this one?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know, and the SEC obviously has it has that powerful name. You know, when you get two of them in there, there's always an Ohio State sitting out there wondering what happened. They had two losses. I understand that. You know, it's amazing how, you know, that thing gets talked about. And I think the greatest thing about the playoffs is that, you know, there's a lot of different opinions, and fans weigh in, which is great, you know, because they have their opinions. And that's what makes college football so unique. You know, it's not like pro football where it's, hey, when these games, when you division, you got to win, you got a division, how many will you get in the wild card? It kind of sets itself. In college, is a little bit different. You know, it's schedule, it's who you played, what were your losses like, what were your wins like. It's interesting because it's always open for debate.
Herm Edwards is our guest. Herm Edwards, the new head coach of Arizona State. Coach, I feel like we at least got you for one more week to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, we're going to keep talking, man. I plan on finishing my work with you guys. It's kind of ironic you say that, because I'm leaving tomorrow, obviously, with a bunch of names, guys, young guys I got to call, because we're recruiting, as you know, and I'm going back to work in Bristol. You'll see me. You'll see me Wednesday on television. You know, I'm working my last week up there this week. I've got a lot of good friends up there, and I need to say my my goodbyes and tie all the knots up there that in the relationships that I fostered over the last 9 years.
Well, then I will ask you about the latest Chiefs loss. You know these few organizations very well. You were the head coach of the Chiefs. You were the head coach of the Jets, and the Jets won a shootout with the Chiefs. What is going on?
It was surprising. It was just kind of surprising, you know, that that early when you watched it, you thought the Chiefs had control of the game. You know, it was like quick, easy scores early in the game, and then all of a sudden they really struggled on third down, and it shows up on the time of possession. I mean, it's amazing that the big plays they had, because that's who they are, 4 touchdowns for Alex Smith. I mean, they can't put this, you know, say, well, Alex Smith didn't, you know, make big plays. They did, 4 touchdown passes. But the problem is that the Jets, which is as effective, you know, scoring 38 points, and you know, they ran the ball well. You know, Anderson and Kirsch played pretty well at the wideouts, and they possessed the ball for almost 43 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's wow. And they were 65% on third down, the Jets, and, you know, 157 yards rushing. I mean, that's kind of one of those, whoa. And I think, you know, Andy understood once that thing started going back and forth, you know, as a coach, what kind of game it is. You know, it's not going to be a defensive game. You know, once the scoreboard starts clicking, it's like, okay, we got to score. And the problem with the Chiefs, they couldn't possess the ball long enough, and they couldn't possess it because they weren't very good on third down.
So, Herm, earlier this morning we had Mark Boerichter on, and he talked about how you and Marty used to mention a lot that when you played the Raiders, you just wanted to be in the game at the end because they do something stupid to cost themselves the game.
Yeah.
That's the Chiefs right now, isn't it? That's hard to take.
Yeah, a bunch of fouls, man. Yeah. And then this has kind of been it's kind of repeat offenders too. You know what I'm saying?
How do you handle that as a coach? I mean, does Andy Reid need to do something about that?
I mean, obviously he's talking about it, you know, especially in games like this when they're that close. You know, you just give people extra opportunities, man. And, you know, and the problem they have is that they're not the same team they were 4 weeks ago or, you know, starting the season, I should say. And, you know, when you give people extra possessions or you're behind the chains because of an offensive infraction, I mean, you just seem to be climbing uphill. And the real problem is when you're on the road doing that, you know, that just multiplies.
Herm Edwards is our guest. How would you handle this latest chapter in the book of Marcus Peters after Steven Nelson was flagged for holding on a 2-point conversion? Marcus Peters then picked up the flag and fired it into the stands and then walked off the field, went to the locker room thinking he was ejected. He was not ejected. He came back out on the field not wearing socks, but he put his cleats back on. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. Your thoughts on what happened with Marcus Peters?
Yeah, that's another deal where that's just a bad deal. I mean, it's just a bad look, bad image. We saw that a week ago with the Raider Denver deal, where you have one of your prominent players, not only for the Chiefs but in the league. You're talking about a Pro Bowl player, and I don't know what the league might have something to say about this, like they did last week, you know, with the Raider Denver situation. You know, when you take a flag and your official flag and throw it in the stand, that's I don't know what kind of conduct that is, and is that warrant a suspension of a game? I don't know. I think the league is going to look at it, and they will determine where this thing goes. But it's just, you know, last couple of weeks we see some things from some players, some prominent players, and that's never a good look.
You said the league might have something to say about it. What should Andy Reid have to say about it?
Well, I mean, obviously he's going to talk to Marcus and say, look, you know, I think Andy's talked to him before. You know, he is an emotional guy, great player, as we know, but all of a sudden it's affecting the team. And when you start affecting the team, and you know, then that's a problem. And you got to talk to him about that one, you know, that we cannot allow this continue to happen because it's starting to go down the wrong road. So, you know, that's the conversation. I mean, obviously Andy's going to talk to the coaches and, you know, and the GM will probably weigh in on this too. So you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Coach, amazingly, despite this free fall, the Chiefs are technically still in first place in the West.
And that's exactly right.
And they play the Raiders coming up next weekend at Arrowhead. The Raiders are 6-6 as well now. What do you think of this matchup? What's it going to take for the Chiefs to actually get back on the winning side of things?
Well, I mean, obviously, if they play like they did offensively for New York, they got a great chance. You know, and the Raiders are kind of coming out of their doldrums as well. I mean, this division right now, it's a three-horse race, as we know. I mean, not only are the Raiders kind of coming back, they've gotten some confidence now. The Chiefs have gained confidence on offense, I think, what happened last week. This weekend, I mean, they feel like they can move the ball and score. Now, defensively, I think, where do we go? You know, and what's going to happen to Peters? I mean, who knows if the league decides to suspend him. Now you lose your best corner. And that's kind of been the issue, you know. This is why they brought in Revis. You know, the secondary has kind of been up and down with their play. So I think it's a division now. You're talking about the Raiders. Don't lose sight of the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
Their team is kind of humming along, too. You know, so this division has all of a sudden become very, very exciting going down the stretch with, what, four games left?
Coach, speaking of possible suspensions, Rob Gronkowski and what he did yesterday, mm-hmm. I would like to get your thoughts on this because the NFL says they are serious about concussions in the NFL. Well, here, Rob Gronkowski runs and literally delivers a flying forearm to the back of the head of Tre'Davious White while he was lying face down on the ground, put him in concussion protocol. I mean, if anything's going to get somebody suspended, wouldn't that be it?
Well, they're going to look at it, no doubt. I mean, and that's what's great about the league. You know, they revisit certain situations and they look at the outcome, and you know, maybe not right then, but you know, when they sit in their office today, they're going to determine, hey, is this worthy of this? Because the problem is that, you know, everyone sees it now, and, you know, they're waiting on the league to say, is this okay? What's okay? And I think even as a coach, you don't know what to say. It's like, well, are they going to suspend him? Are they not going to suspend him? What is this suspension? What is this violation? What does it cause this to do? So, you know, anytime I think you are trying to harm a player where it looks like you're trying to harm a player intentionally, then something needs to be done about that.
I feel like since it's Gronk, everyone's like, hey, all right, high five, 69. If a player would have done that to Tom Brady, they may have been arrested on the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we treat everyone fair. We don't treat everyone the same, right?
That's right. Coach, finally, every week I tweet out that at Herm Edwards ESPN is going to be on the show. You have 102,000 followers on Twitter. Your last tweet was September 1st of 2010. Now that you are a head coach in college football, you see Lane Kiffin, you see all these different coaches tweeting out, it helps recruiting. Will we have new, fresh tweets from Herm Edwards?
I'm pretty sure you will.
All right. That's what I was looking for.
I'll have to start pressing the sand again.
You got a lot of tweets built up. Right?
Yeah. I'm the guy that said don't press send, right?
So right.
You just make sure I got to press the right one. You know how that goes.
That's right. Press send. And I'm not going to try to make anything happen I always, like in a football organization, if you've got somebody good on your staff and they get a better opportunity, you got to help them do that. If you're looking for a director of football ops, I got a guy with a Starbucks app. He got contacts all over the nation.
Yep.
He can make phone calls. He could plan things out. I don't know. His name's Jake. I'm just putting it out there in case you're looking for good people. All right, Coach?
I love it, man. I appreciate you guys, man. I really do. And, you know, just look forward to me calling you guys next week.
I'm looking forward to it. And, again, seriously, congratulations, Coach. We're so happy for you, and we'll be rooting for your success, okay?
Yep.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you now.
That is Herm Edwards. Do not be offended.
Why are you trying to get rid of me?
I'm not trying to do anything. Any good organization allows for the growth, okay, of said members or the members of said organization.
I've grown for 15 years.
And you know what?
You've shrunk.
If somebody else wants you, that just means that you're doing really good. You're doing really well. And I'm just telling you, director of football ops at Arizona State, you're making things happen. You're making phone calls. You're planning things. Maybe you're cutting up some film. I don't think anyone does that anymore, but whatever.
I'll do it.
There's a lot of different things that you could have your hands in right there. Yes or no?
Yeah.
He did shampoo his hair this morning.
And maybe, I'm just putting you out there as a little tease. You know what I mean? Maybe this is the old...
I'll go kick it in Tempe.
Maybe this is the old Gus Malzahn deal, right? Like, yeah, I'm interested in Arkansas. Give me a raise, Auburn. Okay.
Bye-bye,
Arkansas. Do you remember when Arkansas thought they were going to hire Gus Malzahn or not? Nate, do you remember that or no?
Yeah.
When was that?
Not too long ago.
Right. You think they're going to get him?
Well, he just signed a, what, $49 million deal?
I did not ask you what he signed in Auburn. I asked you if you think Arkansas is going to get him.
No, not this time.
Well, you're a pessimist.
Well, he's just agreed to a $49 million 7-year contract.
You know, you leave for 2 days. Could you be any more negative about things going on? Jake, any shot?
Make sure these kids don't drive any damn used cars around, though.
Any shot?
$49 million.
Zero.
Who?
Zero
That's
chance.
That's not what I'm hearing.
And I think before he signed this deal, there was zero chance.
No. There was actually a 100% chance, according to several
people. And those people are stupid.
No. This is...
I mean, Arkansas can't even beat Missouri.
What? They beat them once out of 4 years so far.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
They get you fired?
Nope. The Nate Ucati Show continues right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.